summertime. Sing it one more time. Jump out of line and start to unwind. Before you gotta get back to the front end. Don't waste a minute of your summertime. The runner and the line.
Welcome back, everybody. Stroll Show. I'm your host, The Flow. We're going to go reverse. And over there is my boy, C. What's up, big boy? How's it going?
Good morning. Guten Morgen to all of our Strollagtites and Strollagmites.
Yes, thank you. Welcome back.
I'm a little jittery today. I got. What did you say? Like, I got the good beans.
He got the good beans. Paul got some.
We went to Bushwick Public House.
Yeah, some coffee place.
Man, they got. What did you say? The Dunkin' Donuts or the layup beans?
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts or the layup beans because they're not as strong. Then that's not like a dunk, like, you know, like you get. I was telling you, like that place financier, yeah. They give you those super strong beans, and you're jittery for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm excited. I feel it in my body, and I have caffeine surging through my system. And we have a great show for you guys today. We had a lot going on this week. End.
Yeah, this has been a big, really big weekend for us.
And I think we can start off by saying we went to 90s Fest last night.
Yeah, if no one noticed all the, all the posts and pictures and tweets.
Anybody who follows us, yeah.
Like sorry for blowing it up, but hey, it was crazy.
It warranted blowing up. You know why? Because we met so many big good dudes.
Yeah, some big good dudes. Toss the volume up on there a little bit. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah, so we went to 90s Fest yesterday. That was September the 10th. And then today, I just want to bring this up before we go further. Today is September 11th. And that is it's a big day here in New York City. And it's 15 years to the day.
Yes, 15 years to the day.
So, we just want to, thank our fallen brethren for, helping us in time of need. And all the police officers, military, firemen, everyone that risked their lives on a daily basis, want to thank you.
All the big good dudes that gave their lives, try to save other people,
yeah.
And what's your memory of that day? Do you have a it's like that thing where where were you when it happened? Like you'll never forget where you were. I mean, I know exactly where I was. I was in school.
Yeah, so was I. Yeah. I remember it too because it was a weird day. Because I'll put it this way, it was I remember the night before going to school and. There was talks of like this teacher strike, and I don't know if it was public school. I was a kid, so I don't really know. And so then the next day at school, maybe 9/11, it was kids kept getting called out of school. Like kids kept leaving, and no one was saying anything. And then I was like, oh, maybe the teachers are going on strike, so we're all gonna have to leave.
Yeah, mom was definitely the word when it happened. And also, I didn't really know what the World Trade Center was. I knew what the Twin Towers were.
Yeah,
but I didn't know they finally told us what happened, and they were like, oh, the World Trade Center. Just got attacked, and we were just like, huh? And then some people knew, the kids that like knew where their dads worked there. I mean, apparently my dad worked there too, and I didn't even know that it was the Twin Towers. I thought the World Trade Center was like a separate entity.
Yeah, no, especially because you never go. You live in New York, and you never actually go.
Yeah, we were in like, what, 7th or 8th grade at the time or something? Like, maybe we should have been a little more. You feel like you're old in 8th grade, but you really don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I still don't know what the fuck's going on.
But pretty much,
look at me.
Yeah. But actually my dad, was supposed to be at work that day in the trade
oh, wow.
center and he was homesick. So
oh, wow.
imagine
that's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that. I'm sure people were supposed to get on plane that didn't, I think, Mark Wahlberg or somebody was supposed to be on one of the planes that crashed into the towers. Like I'm not sure though, but, what's going on?
No, sorry. I was just reading something. Just for the phones.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. We just,
want to pay a little homage.
Make a little reference to
it. So we don't forget because we will never, especially our generation and our parents' generations, we will never forget.
Yeah, and we're lucky that we get to host the radio show and have fun and, like, you know, keep it lighthearted, but, you know, bears remembrance today of 9/11. So I hope everybody is having a good Sunday morning. Today we have Laura Stevenson going to be on the show today.
Yeah.
A little background on Laura. She is a singer-songwriter. She has a band called The Cans, right?
Yeah, I believe she's still with. She's still kicking around.
But we saw her for the first time when we went and saw the band Arrogant Sons of Bitches, who was Jeff Rosenstock's band, and you know, the guy from Bomb the Music Industry, and also, you know, he's Jeff Rosenstock. You don't know Jeff Rosenstock.
He's doing it. The band's he's amazing. The guy's three different outfits and all successful. So
he's a dynamo. Yeah. He actually just put out a new song on Side One Dummy. Shout out to them, and you can check it out on our page. We shared it, so it's a new video. Anyway, so this is about Laura. Yeah. We saw her open for Arrogant Sons of Bitches at Warsaw, and
a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was like maybe 4 years ago. Maybe not four, maybe three.
I think it actually was, because we went back and then saw Bond the Music Industry.
Yeah.
So it was two different times we were at Warsaw.
Wow. But so the time we saw her was when it was Arrogant Sons of Bitches, right?
Yeah, I think it was. That was like 400 years ago now. I was still single at the time. So that's like about 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
A little over 4 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've been fans of her for a while. And I think what really drew me to her at first was, like, she looked like my sister, remember?
Oh, yeah, like, she did. She was like a clone of Al.
Yeah, she looked just like Al. So shout out to Al. I know Al's listening because she's very excited that Laura Stevenson's going to be on the show today. This might be the first episode Al actually listens to, other than the Pokemon Jason Page episode. You know, there's some ones that, you know you're doing well when your family actually wants to listen.
Exactly. You're like, if we can pique your interest, then, hey, we did something right.
If you can get your own sister to sit her ass down and listen to take an hour out of her day.
Exactly. Especially on a Sunday, I wake up kind of early for this, you know, because if like us, like going back to 90s Fest, you know, you had a couple drinks, you're busy the night before, and then you come back to wake up at 12 o'clock.
Come on.
That's a tall task. I know a lot of you are going to church today, too, so thank you for missing church for this.
Yeah, I'm sure. So we're big fans of Laura, and I think she kind of started her career. She's from Long Island, and she started her career playing, I think, piano. We're gonna find out, but she was involved in that whole scene with Jeff Rosenstock and all those guys, that Long Island scene. So we're definitely gonna find out some info about that. And she just writes great songs, and really excited to talk to her. And I think maybe she's going to call in like 12:15?
Around 12:15. She got about like 5 minutes. I just, you know.
Yeah, so I
send out the contact info, so hopefully everything works smoothly.
Everything's good. So maybe we'll play a song, one of the songs by her, and hopefully when we come back, we'll have a little chat with Laura. We know that the phone situation here is usually, it's an adventure every time.
It is. It depends what new will happen. But I think we should be all right. I was getting briefed again. Just had to work it, just so you know, no misconnects, like you know, our Craigslist joke we always use. But
was there an update to the phone system?
No, I just wanted to brush up because I feel like it's been like a couple weeks, maybe like even a month since we had to use it last.
Well, good. So hopefully, as long as she calls, we should be able to patch it in. But if we're gonna be sitting here maybe waiting for a little bit, I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to do a little hello, my baby, a little shucking and driving.
We'll put those little like straw hats and a cane and just dance across.
Yeah, just a little
audio airwaves.
All right. So this song is called Claustrophobe. It's off her most recent album, which is Cocksure. It's a great album, and this is her top hit on Spotify. So, you know, it's got to be good.
We got to listen. You know? Got to listen.
So stay tuned. We'll be back with Laura Stevenson. Hopefully, you're listening to The Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn.
got an ugly place to be. I got an ugly place to be.
All right, that was nice. I like that.
That's a nice jam.
It is a nice jam. Hey, Laura, what's up, girl?
So.
All right, sorry. I had to just found some sunglasses in studio, so I wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah. Anybody properly... leave a pair of sunglasses in here. Yes, we are. Oh.
And we're getting the call. Hang on, Laura's calling.
Right on time.
All right, hang on. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Laura, what's up?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Welcome to the show. I'm Steve and Paul.
Hey, I'm Paul. Thanks for calling us, Laura. Really appreciate it. You're on live on Radio Free Brooklyn right now.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm not allowed to curse then, probably.
Oh, you can curse if you'd
like.
You
can curse like an animal on here.
Cool. Cool. All right, perfect.
So how you doing? What's going on with you right now? Are you getting ready for a tour? You have like some big tour that just got announced with the anniversary, right?
Yeah, we're on that tour right now. So last night we played Bowery Ballroom, and tonight we play the Bell House in Brooklyn. And then we're on this through the 16th. We do Riot Fest in Chicago with them, and then we come back to Asbury Park and play a festival that our label, Don Giovanni, it's called New Alternative Music Festival, and that's going to be on the 17th, and then we go home. Go to sleep.
Wow, so not too busy.
Yeah. You're keeping it, taking it easy. You're taking it.
We have another tour in November. It's just me solo with this band called Murder by Death in the Midwest for like 2 weeks, and then after that, I don't know, Christmas.
Yeah, take Christmas vacation.
Yeah, open those presents.
Yeah.
how's the tour been going? I know because it started last night. How was the crowd with the anniversary? Because we know they're like, you know, old school emo band.
Yeah, the crowd's awesome. They've been super sweet to us. We actually played two other shows with them in Boston and Philly, and everybody seems really cool, really receptive. They're awesome people. And Adrienne, the keyboard player of the anniversary, her band Extra Classic is opening up these shows. And she's awesome. They're awesome. They're like kind of like a reggae, like dance hall band.
Oh, sweet.
It's cool. And yeah, anniversary, all of them are just like really, really nice. We instantly felt like we were all friends, which is the perfect scenario when you're on a tour.
That doesn't always happen, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you walk in and everybody just says their name and shakes your hand, and you're like, oh, there's a lot of guys named Matt. Like, what? I'm not gonna remember this. But they were all, like, super cool, and all their personalities are really, like, unique and hilarious. So it's going to be a good couple more days.
That's awesome. So are you excited for Riot Fest? You guys hadn't played that previously, right?
No, we did. We did it 2 years ago.
Okay.
With like the Pussy Riot, Rollins, The Cure. It was like crazy.
Oh, I can imagine.
No big deal. The Cure.
Yeah. What's the biggest difference between playing like a big festival like that, or like and playing like a, you know, a show at like a, you know, a regular venue in you know, on any town USA? Like, is it, I'm sure it's like very hectic and kind of like get your stuff on, get your stuff off, and like you're just running around, you know? So what's that like?
It's cool. It's like, I don't know, there's a lot of like celebrity people around, and like, I don't know, I mean, I consider anyone who's not me to be a celebrity, but like, so I just get really starstruck really easily, and so I don't know, like, we just played a festival, Firefly, in Delaware, like, a couple months ago, and Blink-182 was there, and I was just like,
Did you meet them? Did you get to meet them?
Travis Barker. No, I just lurked around and, like, watched them from, like, 12 feet away. Like, that's how I act. So, like, I don't know, I get really impressed really quickly by, like, people being around me that are important in my eyes, musicians. So at those festivals, I kind of like get a little freaked out because I'm like, oh, look at all these people. Like, there's Wayne Coyne just like putting together some like pinata thing, and like, I don't know. So it's weird. And then otherwise it's the same, you know, like you rush on the stage, you rush off the stage. That happens at, you know, small shows and big shows. So it's always that like crazy anxiety filled, like, where's all my shit? Do I have all my shit? Maybe, probably not. Well, we have to play now.
Yeah. And all the meanwhile, you have to still actually play and try to put on a good performance. It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's always, I mean, I always try to be the same amount of good at every show, no matter what, even if it's like we're playing in a church basement or we're playing like, you know, and like Robert Smith is standing by.
That's insane. How do you find the crowd in a festival as opposed to like a smaller show? Because I've gone to Ride Fest a couple years ago and it was a little, it's like a mixed bag because you got people that are fans and then people that are just there to kind of just like check out bands they might have heard of.
Yeah, I mean, I guess because we're not as big like most of the bands that are at a festival like that. Like we're like playing pretty early day to way less people, but like, so there are people that are like making a point to see you, and those are usually the people that are like way up close, which is cool. Because like if you play later in the day and people aren't there to see you, but they're just trying to save a spot for the next band, you know, then like looking at their phones and like not caring at all, and that's going to just make you feel insane while you're playing. So I don't know. I feel like people are enthusiastic that are closer to the front, which is nice because those are the faces that I can see because I don't wear my glasses when we play.
Everything blurry. It's actually a good move. So I guess we'll switch into your most current album, Cocksure, that you spoke about earlier on Don Giovanni Records. What was the process like for that?
Well, the writing process is always kind of the same. I just write the songs alone and I kind of like work on them for a while and then I slowly introduce them to the band. We don't write anything like in the studio and we kind of just, you know, try to have everything planned out because it's really expensive to make records. And so every 5 minutes that you're like toiling over a melody line is like, you know, that adds up and that like becomes extra days and that becomes extra thousands of dollars that we don't have. So, you know, try to be as prepared as possible. But this last one, we kind of like, it was like a little looser. It was just really fun because my friend Rosenstock from the band Bomb the Music Industry, and now he has his own project, Jeff Rosenstock.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, you guys know Jeff. Okay, oh, cool. Yeah. He was producing it, so it was just like super fun. Like my friend Joe Rogers, it's his studio and he's just like amazing, super enthusiastic, like joyful person. So I think it was just like everybody was happy. The songs were good. We knew what we were doing and we just like made a record that I really enjoy listening to. So I'm happy about it.
So my sister is a huge fan of you. Not that I'm not, but but she really wanted me to ask you a question about like your writing process for your songs and your lyrics. Do you consider yourself like kind of an autobiographical lyricist, or you know, your songs kind of just meant to be interpreted however anybody wants, or you know, do you really like, or do you kind of like look inward and write kind of about yourself?
I mean, I definitely look inward and write about myself because that's the only thing that I, like, that's the truth that I really can know, you know what I mean? But, like, I try to keep things vague and full. Like, I don't talk about, like, specific situations. Like, I was at the supermarket at 3 o'clock on this day, you know what I mean? Like, I try to universalize the experience, you know, so that people can, like, make it fit into their own, you know, life, and it can be relatable. And also, like, I think things are a little bit more beautiful when you can paint your own picture, you know what I mean?
So yeah, sure,
I
sure.
Kind of try to keep it loose. But yeah, it's all, like, shit in my life.
And you mentioned Jeff. The first time we actually saw you play was, I think, like 4 years ago when you opened up for Arrogant Sons of Bitches at Warsaw in Brooklyn. I don't know how long ago that was. I think it's 4.
Yeah, I feel like it was a long time ago now. Yeah. I have no idea. My perception of time is gone.
We're getting old. We're getting old. I don't know. So what was it like being involved in that scene in Long Island? Like, how did you meet Jeff? Like, because I know you guys go back, right? With in that scene in the area, because you grew up in Long Island and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, well, he's from Baldwin and I'm from Rockville Center. So those towns are like right next to each other. And there was a VFW in Baldwin that would always have shows. So ASOB was always playing there. And then they would play at this place, Scotty D's or Cafe in Rockville Center. So I remember I saw them there like when I was like super young. I was probably like 14 or 15 or something. And
oh, wow.
I don't know. It was just like, it was just exciting to be a part of a thing that, like, felt really special and secret, because that's what it felt like. Like, no kids in my middle school or high school were really going to shows. There was, like, one girl that was younger than us that had, like, a messenger bag that had, like, patches on it. And I was like, oh, I know that band. That's cool. But, like, really, it was just, like, our, like, little group of, like, 6 friends that were going to these shows. And we just felt like we had this, like, secret world, and it was like, oh cool, now we're like not losers, we're just like somehow like everybody else. And Jeff was kind of like, he seemed very cool, like he had like blue hair and he like sang in a band and he had like stupid pants. And so I thought he was like really like famous and cool, but it turns out he was only like 2 years older than me in a very very silly band that was also very very good. So then, I don't know, we just became friends, and I became friends with, like, all his bandmates, and slowly but surely, he asked me to, like, be in his band when he stopped ASOB and started bombing the music industry, and I was like, okay.
That's awesome. That's, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy. So did you play, like, a lot of shows with them, like, when they were first, like, coming up, or, like, did you play any, like, the big shows? Like, how long were you in the band with them?
I was in the band for a couple of years. We did, like, all the first tours I was on, I was the keyboard player, backup vocalist, yeller of things. So it was cool because those were my first tours, you know, like I had my own songs kind of like brewing, but a lot of them were like really bad and I wasn't playing them for people. So I was kind of like quietly learning how to even go about putting a band together and go about like booking shows and doing tours and stuff just by being in that band. So it was really, really
it's a good intro experience. Yeah,
that's kind of crazy because looking at like Arrogant Sons of Bitches and then onto a bomb music industry like that stuff is kind of a lot more, you know, it's more aggressive than your like kind of like, you know, kind of like acoustic singer songwriter style. So like how did you transition over, because I feel like that's such a crazy transition?
Well, I mean, like I was always writing these quiet like bedroom songs, but I grew up listening to punk rock, so like playing in a like a punk band was fun. And Jeff is so musical that it was also like really challenging. Like he uses such crazy chord structures, and like just also like the keyboard melodies were like super fast and like Game Boy-ish, and like so, and it was like really, I don't know, it was a challenge and it was really great. And his songs, like if you slow them down, are gorgeous folk songs, you know, like he's just like a really good melody writer. So I don't know, it just made sense for me. Like if it was like a 4-chord punk band that just had like anthemic, you know, choruses and like not really challenging, then like I don't think that would have enriched me as much. But like his music is just so like complex and awesome, so it just made sense.
Yeah, I really want to know a little more about the scene in Long Island around that time, because like so much stuff was happening, and you had Taken Back Sunday and Brand New and all that rivalry, and when you know all those bands blew up, do you feel like it changed the scene, or how did you see it affect other bands? I mean, did it affect you, and I mean, what was it like when all that stuff just started blowing up?
That was kind of cool. I was never really super into either of those bands. Like, I'd seen Taking Back Sunday a couple times at, like, opening for, like, other bands at, like, VFW halls and churches and stuff. And Brand New, I think I saw once. But that was kind of, like, they were a little older, and they were, like, into more, like, serious kind of, like, pop punk, emo-y punk. And I was, like, hanging out with, like, the like more like dorky like ska punk kids.
Nice.
So
yeah.
Our scene never really changed. Like Edna's Goldfish got like a little popular. They had like a video on MTV, and I feel like they had like a semi-major label deal for a record or two. But that was kind of like, that was the peak for like the scene that I was hanging in. So, you know, I mean, Dan Deacon got super famous. He does like electro pop now, and he was the lead singer of like my favorite band when we were kids. And that was part of the like, kind of like nerdy, like the smart kids who like kind of like are just embracing that we're like never going to be cool kind of scene. That was kind of like the kids that I hung with. So that never really changed after like all of the like bigger Long Island bands got big. But that was exciting. I mean, it's exciting to see people doing well, you know, like that's very cool. And Brand New are still like a really big band. They just did a tour with Modest Mouse.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah. We saw them.
Yeah, exciting.
We saw that. It was crazy.
I mean, that's really cool. Yeah.
And Laura, I want to ask you too.
Sorry, what were you
saying? No, that's all right. I wanted to know.
You said a buzzword, and yeah. Steve's face lit up like it was Christmas morning.
No, but I was going to ask, what was Little Laura listening to back, you know, in your early teen years? Because you're saying you listen to all this like ska and like punk type music. So, you know, as a fan, I'm interested.
Yeah. I would buy like records that I thought would have like a lot of like hits on them. Like I bought like a lot of comps and stuff so that I could hear what bands I really liked. Because I would like find out about bands. People would make me mixtapes. I'd see bands live. But like for like NoFX, I heard They Suck Live because I knew it had like Linoleum on it, and it had like a bunch of different songs from different records. So I was like, I want to see if I want to buy like other records, because like, I was, you know, I had no money. I was a kid and I couldn't download music, so bought a lot of comps.
Yeah, those Warped Tour compilations were a lifesaver.
Yeah, give them the boot. You know, like I heard like Rancid, and like I was like, oh, okay, Rancid's cool. Like,
it was a money saver.
Like
that,
you know? yeah. You know, you have to see if you like want to buy a record, and if you don't, then like I don't want like a TSOL record. Like I learned that, but like I don't know. So. And I guess it was like a lot of like pop punk comps and ska and silly music. And then I started getting into my own music as time went on, and I started listening to like Elliott Smith and things that are a little bit more like mature but have the same like level of like melody that I was looking for. Because I just really liked good melodies, you know, like NoFX, like they write great melodies. And so that's why that band really resonated with me. Yeah, I loved Blink 182. Also, ooh, great melodies.
Who doesn't?
That's another trigger.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Stuff like that.
Well, now we're talking about your youth, your young Laura, and we're
not that you're not young.
I'd like to take this opportunity to do like a little Wikipedia fact check.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it says on your Wikipedia that your grandfather was a composer. And he did some of the like two of the biggest Christmas songs
on earth
ever. Is that true? Did that influence you? If it is true,
yeah. I mean, he definitely influenced me. He was like a classical piano player, as was my grandmother. So they would play like he would play a lot of Bach. he was more like methodical, very like mathematical in his like approach, but then in the music that he wrote, he was very like atonal and like Eastern, kind of like Little Drummer Boy is like a weird song. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's like super weird. So he was like kind of experimental and avant-garde in this like really strange way that I try to like write with a lot of dissonance, and I think I get that from him for sure. And like just like compositionally. And then like my grandmother played a lot of Chopin and like romantic composers and just a lot of like emotion. So I think I get a lot of that from her. And she was just a beautiful singer. And so I don't know. They're the combination of the two of them and their styles, definitely. Like I like to think I have a nice little blend of both.
So Wikipedia is right for once.
Yeah.
You never know when you see stuff on there. You're like, I don't know. Is that really true?
But it's so ridiculous that it almost had to be true. Like, it's like, that, I mean, not that it's like it's too crazy to believe it, but it's just like, man, it's so random. Like, and it makes sense because I do believe that, music does kind of run through. Sometimes it can skip a generation, but like even I'm a musician myself, and I came to find out through what's that website that does the
Ancestry.com?
Yeah, Ancestry.com. I come to find like this like picture from the 1800s of my great great grandpa in a band and playing like I don't even know like the lute or something. I don't know. I don't know what
shredding on the lute.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I started thinking about it. It's like it's pretty impressive that they took a picture back then because. Like, it must have been a big to-do. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, whip out your phone, snap a pic. Like, you know, only, like, serious, you know, a serious band would probably take a picture back in, like, the 1800s.
Otherwise, yeah, like, get a press photo.
Right, yeah, a press photo.
With all the newspapers.
Yeah, but so that is interesting how it, like, kind of, like, you know, runs through the family. But so just a few more questions for you. We don't want to keep you too long. I thought you had one, Steve.
I had one. I was kind of on maybe it's a little more like a sombering type of question, but today, since today is 9/11, I want to know, like, what was your experience during that time? Not to switch too crazy instead.
Well, I was home. I was a senior in high school, and I had the first two periods off, just, like, luckily, you know, I had, like, an awesome schedule, so I was, like, home, and I think I was, like, putting my hair in a ponytail. I was listening to Z100 actually, because I always listen to Z100 in the morning when I was getting ready.
Elvis Duran.
So I heard, Elvis Duran, Z Morning Zoo, Greg T, the frat boy. So I was like listening to that, and that's how I heard. And then I turned on the TV, and then I saw, and then my mom came home from the gym, and she was like, "Oh, isn't Mrs. Olsen in the North Tower?" And that was our neighbor, like my friend's mom. And so we found out that my friend's mom was killed. And then I was also in the choir from my school. So we did a lot of, and like Rockville Center is the Archdiocese of Long Island. So we have a big cathedral there, and we had a lot of like firemen funerals there in the coming weeks, in the following weeks. So I was singing at all those. So I like wasn't in school very much after it happened because we were doing a lot of funerals. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was like a surreal
time. It was pretty crazy.
Especially, you know, you have such a close connection.
Yeah, it was pretty
horrible. Yeah, we had to pay homage.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's like, I saw Sully yesterday, which was like kind of a dumb move because like, at this time, I was like emotional.
Oh, that's that Tom Hanks movie, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I just like broke down crying because there are all these like, images of like FDNY and NYPD, you know, first responders putting blankets on these people, and I just like lost it.
What was that movie about? Like, it's not directly related to 9/11, is it? No,
not at all. It was about the plane that landed on the Hudson in 2009.
Ah, okay, yeah.
But like, I don't know. There was just like they also like were. In the movie, there was, like, this, like, fantasy, kind of, that, like, the pilot was having of, like, what happened if he had done it differently. And he just kept, like, closing his eyes and seeing a plane crash into a building. So there was, like, a lot of, like, very, like, kind of, like, not even subtle, like, very, like, obvious, like, connection. And then they actually said, like, something later in the movie. And then just, like, all the firemen and the police officers, just all the imagery was just, like, totally recalled, like, what we were seeing on the news the months following, and I just like lost it yesterday in a movie theater.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised they even put that out so close to this date. You know, like it's kind of because I remember back then, like they were taking movies out of the theaters. They weren't showing things on TV that had any kind of like possible connotation of, you know, 9/11 or anything. So it's kind of, I mean, I guess time goes on enough, and it's, you know, you start to heal a little bit. But anyway, just to kind of wrap up, I don't know how we really...
I know, I'm sorry. I wanted to save that for kind of the end so we could all be sad and go home. But
just, like, what are some bands right now that you like that are, like, kind of current that maybe people don't know about that you can kind of, like, give a little shout-out to? Is there anybody that you maybe, you know, think people should know about and maybe turn us on to some new bands?
There's a band called Cayetana from Philadelphia that are great. There's a band called Hopalong from Philadelphia that are great.
Oh, yeah, we're actually seeing them. We're seeing them open for Built to Spill on Friday at Irving or whatever. I think it's Irving.
I think so.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen them, but I've seen the name, so.
Incredible. Incredible band, and it's awesome that they're playing with Built to Spill. That's, like, perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who else do I like? I feel like you guys know a lot of the bands that I would probably say, like Andrew Jackson Jihad. Or no, now they're just AJJ.
Oh, that's official name
they
change.
They put out a new record. Yeah, yeah, official.
They went to court for that?
Yeah, I don't know. I know Chris Farron. He's one of my dearest friends, and he just put out a great record. Or maybe it's like on its way. Jeff Rosenstock has a new record that's about to come out. I don't know, just all the people that are closest to me, like I'm getting married soon and all these people are like coming to my wedding and they are also like the people that are making my favorite songs right now. So I consider myself very lucky.
It's awesome. You can have a big jam at your wedding. You can have like a big a whole big thing. I mean, I'm sure that's the last thing you want to do when you're getting married, all that craziness, but maybe that would be fun.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Fuck that. No live music, not even a DJ. We just made a playlist and it have Montel Jordan and then like Beyonce, and
that's a gangster move. I gotta be honest.
Seriously, yeah.
You're around music enough.
Yeah, for real.
The hell with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess just like just a final question to wrap it up. I mean, Steve, did you have one more?
No,
you want to talk about 9/11 again?
No, or? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. Now. I'm sweating like a beast.
It's a little hot down here.
That's just me probably gasping for air. So if I looks like I have a question, I'm just literally just dying.
So I know that you know, one of our favorite comedians and like just general awesome dude, Chris Gethard. Did you? Because I know he plays like he doesn't play shows, but like he opens for shows. Like he opened for
the Front Bottoms
like recently. So do you know how well do you know him? Is he a cool dude or like how did he get involved with the with all these bands? Because I know he's just a big music like fan. So
yeah, well he's good friends with my friend Mikey Erg. Who puts out great music.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
We interviewed Mikey a couple weeks ago, actually. So he's awesome,
yeah,
awesome dude.
He's the best. So they're really close. And I don't know, Chris had asked me to play his show when it was still on public access. And so we did. And then he and I just kind of like started this friendship where we were just like, I was going through some shit and he was going through some shit. So it was like a perfect time to kind of like be like, I need a friend. So it really worked out for both of us. And I don't know, we just got kind of close and now we're buddies. And I played his Career Suicide show, which was beautiful. Did you guys see it?
No, I actually didn't catch it.
He had this like, it's gorgeous. It's like, it's like a really beautiful performance. It's like stand up, but it's also like a one man show kind of, I don't know. It's just really, really nice. So he had me open for him for that. And hopefully we do some more stuff together in the future because I think he's like a really fantastic storyteller and a wonderful person and he's my friend.
And he's really starting to blow up now too. I mean, I feel like he got written up in like Time Magazine or something recently or some big, big. I saw some big article saying because he was trying to get on the Today Show or something to fill in for Michael Strahan or something.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He's going to be on the Kelly Ripa show.
Yeah, he was petitioning to try to get on that. I was like, that'd be a great move.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah, I'm really proud of him. He's doing really, really well. He deserves it. He's great.
And you're doing well, and you deserve it as well. And so,
thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. You're the best.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And what do you? So tonight you're playing the Bell House. You said
Bell House. Yeah.
Okay. What time you go on? Because maybe we'll stop by.
I don't know. 9, 8:30. No,
that's like the worst.
No.
Like when everybody asks me like what time I'm going, I'm just get there, just go, just get there. Find the time. It's like the worst question to ask. I'm sorry.
You're never on time anyway. So what's the big? You know, what does it matter?
All right, awesome, Laura. Thank you so much for your
Thanks,
time
Laura.
Again. And
yeah, of course.
Congrats on the wedding coming up. That's awesome.
Yeah, big ups
thank
to
you.
Your husband.
Thank you.
Your fiance. I don't know.
Thank
Give him
you.
A shout
yeah,
out.
Yeah, he's the bass player. He's the bass player of our band.
Oh, cool. So. Is that Mike who I was talking to?
Yeah,
oh.
Mike.
All right, Mike. Hey, thank you. Hey, I'll thank Mike too.
Yeah, shout out to Mike because he hooked us up. So awesome.
All right, I will. All right. Maybe I'll see you guys tonight.
All right, Laura. Take
cool.
care.
Thanks, Laura. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.
All right, there we go.
That was Laura Stevenson, everybody. Wow.
I got to say one thing.
Yeah, say it.
That was actually the first time we got a call that was actually punctual. I have to thank Laura because that was such smooth operating.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. It should be that seamless all the time.
I know. Just like, hey, boom. Yeah. We got something.
So maybe we'll play one more song by Laura, and we'll come back, and we'll just do a little housekeeping and wrap it up.
I like that. You know I like the housekeep.
Let's see. What song should we play? I think I know which one to play.
You know what you got?
Yeah. I'm trying to do Spotify on the run, and it's not.
Spotify on the fly?
Let's see if it works. All right. So that was Laura Stevenson, everybody. We'll be back to close the show after this. You're listening to The Sherrill Show on Radio Free Brooklyn.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
We're back. Sherrill Show, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Love that song.
That was beautiful. That was Laura Stevenson, who we just had on,
But minutes ago. And we've had some time to think about it. You could say that we've had a Oop. The soundboard just doesn't want to work today.
I know. Yeah, we created a soundboard. I have the sound up.
I don't know.
Nah, we created a soundboard this week. It was on our stroll agenda.
And now it's not working.
And now it's not working. Of all the days.
I really wanted it to work today.
Yeah. We'll tweak on that.
Yeah.
As long as the phones work today, I don't really, you know.
Yeah, that was the moment. We were at a moment to reflect on how easy and seamless that was today. Laura was timely, and I should have thanked her for her timeliness because, you know what? People are not timely anymore. Punctuality is a lost art. Some might say it's a virtue. What else is a virtue?
Love?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm trying to think. Virtues. Patience is a virtue.
Yeah, because patience. Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that movie, Warriors of Virtue?
No.
You don't remember that? They were like these, they were like these Zen master kangaroo things.
No.
I think they were trying to. Dude, we're gonna put it up on our. We're gonna put it.
You
up
remember?
Because
were they warriors of virtue?
Warriors of virtue,
and the kangaroos.
They were like kangaroos,
like real life kangaroos, or like cartoon kangaroos.
They were, I don't know. Remember around the time when like the Ninja Turtles were out and stuff, they tried to make all these movies that were like kind of like that. You know,
like
what I mean?
Puppeteer type deals.
Yeah, like it was puppeteer, and it was like
I'm gonna look it up while you talk.
Yeah, Warriors of Virtue. I don't know why they. Because we were talking about virtue. We're talking about virtue on the Stroll Show.
Yeah, you know how we do.
You know how we do. We always talk about the hard hitting topics.
Yeah, everyone wants to talk about virtues.
But yeah, it was like these like Zen master kangaroos, and this little boy somehow gets wrapped up in this world.
No way. I've never seen this, but this is ridiculous.
Do you see the pictures? I do see the pictures. We're gonna share it on our Facebook page because the world needs to remember this movie.
Stop. This is those are like the Power Rangers, but.
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
Are they kangaroos or what?
I don't know what they are. They got like weird like bat ears or something.
Yeah, dude.
It's creepy.
We have to buy it. They probably don't even have that on DVD. You have to buy a VHS and convert it to DVD to watch that.
If you want nightmares tonight, Google that right now because I will not be sleeping. I don't know about you guys.
This is what we bring to you on the show.
Exactly. We want to reflect. We'll reflect on what we've done this weekend as well.
Yeah, for sure. And then we'll do a little housekeeping.
Then we'll do
the out because it's football fucking Sunday.
That's right.
And we are ready to watch some Jets. And we're gonna fly home to try to watch.
We will break all the rules getting home today.
Breaking all the rules.
But yeah, but we went to 90s Fest yesterday, and we want to give a big shout out to Jesse, who let us, you know, get media passes, hooked up Steph,
Thank
my girlfriend,
Jesse.
Too.
Oh, wow.
Who was not our social media manager.
But he made it so.
Yeah, he made dreams come true last night. He got us into the media pit of Sugar Ray.
I was face to crotch with Mark McGrath's crotch. Yeah,
Mark McGrath got pretty far in all of us last night. It was insane. Like we were like right in front because the media is like right in front of the people. I don't know why that becomes precedent. I guess for the pictures.
Yeah, for the pictures and like, you know. I mean, but then they tried to kick us out because not all of us had cameras.
My camera, there was no more space on it. So every time I took a picture, it said insufficient memory. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, no more pictures. Just enjoy this before they throw us out of here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I tried to Facebook Live it to make it seem like I was doing something. But, you know, I was really just taking pictures of Mark McGrath's crotch. It was right in my face. What am I supposed to do?
We're going to Kinko's after this and blowing those up.
But we actually got to meet Mark McGrath for a little bit and talk to him. We talked to all of Sugar Ray. We talked to Sister Hazel. Remember them? Oh, I'll just say it. We played them last week. And it was kind of weird watching them because like people were waiting for All For You to be played. And as soon as All For You played, it was like a different band was on stage. Like they instantly sounded better. It's like there was so much joy in them playing that song because, hey, it's a great song. I mean, All For You is a timeless classic.
You know what I never noticed about them is that they have a lot more country tones to them than I expected.
Well, you know my theory on this. I think I told you.
Tell me again.
We have enough time. I'll tell you. But I think that, you know, country music is like the key to making money in the music industry today. So if you have a little bit of like look at Darius Rucker, formerly Hootie and the Blowfish, right?
Nick.
Exactly. Nick didn't know that Hootie was the same guy. Darius Rucker did such a good job of creating a new persona in his country form that he didn't even know it was Hootie.
It was like he evolved.
Yeah.
He's evolving before our eyes.
Hootie, what?
Hootie's evolving?
Hootie is evolving to Darius Rucker.
Everyone's like, ah, come on, Darius Rucker.
But I think, you know, country music is like one of the last real profitable, other than like, you know, just regular like pop top 40 hits. Country has its own thing. They have their own agenda, their own fan base.
Their own award ceremony.
Their own award. They're like their own music channel. So it's like, you know, they're their own standalone thing. And it for some reason those albums really sell. I don't know if it's like the fan base is like more willing to pay money, or maybe like, you know, some of them are like, I'm sure there's a lot of older people that like that, and they're not going to go and download the record illegally. They're going to go
No one's illegally downloading Toby Keith or something. Yeah, no one's like, let me illegally just scoop this up out of the internet.
Yeah, and Toby Keith, he'll play The Garden literally every time he comes around.
Yeah, just like Toby Keith's coming. And you don't even know who's a country fan until they all come piling in and sell out Madison Square Garden.
But also speaks to like Americana and people, you know, like, you know, the American people like that, you know, like, yeah, we're drinking beer. Like, that's why that Bruce album was so awesome, right? The Born to Run, because he's just like that American dream, you know? Like,
it resonates in everybody, I think, right? And that's really... The test of it, it's a good, it makes it a good album, makes it very famous.
But it's like what was the name of the band? Sister Hazel. They definitely did have some country undertones. But like I said, when they played All For You, it was like a totally different. Totally different band, just got teleported.
They were like all possessed for that one song, and of course everyone went apeshit.
People really were digging that, obviously. And then we also talked to DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, yeah, my boy.
I actually enjoyed his set, too, because he did, like, a cool, like, mix-up. I mean, he just did a DJ set, but...
Yeah, he doesn't rap, like, contrary to popular belief, if there was a belief.
I didn't know. I never thought it, but I assumed it. I just assumed it.
I thought he was going to say, he didn't say anything. He just went on so quietly, just mixed the shit out of that set, and then...
Nice guy.
He was too. A super nice guy. We even took, like, we interviewed him, like, earlier in the day. And then, like, later we saw him and we're like, oh, we take a pic. And he was like, oh, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And we got the most beautiful pic right up against the New York skyline. So it was pretty dope.
It was pretty epic.
Pretty dope.
As well as my return interview with Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
After the lost interview from last time when we were both just pretty,
pretty wasted.
Pretty wasted. Let's be honest. It's okay. Pauly Shore, you don't have to worry about it. Like me, I needed to be better at my job. And not get wasted backstage. But they let the press drink. This year, they didn't do that.
Yeah, no, they only gave us coconut water, which I still loved because I love coconut
water.
We're
trying to stay hydrated out there. It's
Thank you, Zico. Thank you for providing us the H2O keep going.
H2 coconut.
That was kind of funny, though, because you interviewed Pauly Shore. And last year, he gave you a hard time.
Yeah, he did. Pauly busted my ballies.
He did. And I feel like... You guys had like this weird feud. Not like a real, but like, you know, like a fake feud. And then again, it just seemed like he like kind of remembered you. And he's like, oh, fuck this guy again.
Yeah, and even that picture that we took, I'm just like kind of mean mugging him. I wasn't meaning to. I'm just mean mugging him. He's just like standing so staunch.
Like, he's sizing you up. Like it was just like this bad, like, man, we got to blow that up. We got to make that a thing. Pauly Shore.
Pauly on Pauly.
Yeah. We got to get Pauly Shore in this room. We got to squash the beef before it gets out of hand. Yeah, but that's what we got to do.
Nobody really calls me Pauly, though, but I was wondering because he uses a Y, and my family calls me Pauly sometimes, but I use an IE when I spell it. What is the difference between the Y and the IE? Why do you some choose the Y? Is it just because it's like one less letter? It's just quicker? You just boom, I can just write it?
I don't know. That's like Steven spelling it with a PH or a V. Yeah, how does a F go into a V?
Okay, but now we're getting on to grammatical right now. we're coming into the end of the show now. Just a little housekeeping. Shout out to our Radio Free Brooklyn family last night. We had to miss the big show that was happening at Unit J, the fundraiser. Hopefully it all went well. Hopefully you guys out there, made it happen.
Had a blast.
And if you want to donate further, give us more money.
We're just asking for everything now.
You could go to our Patreon page, or you could go to our RadioFreeBrooklyn.com and find the pledge button there. And
just push pledge.
Okay, just push pledge. So any final thoughts from Flo?
No, you know, yesterday was a blast. I had a great time at 90s Fest. Just overall, it was awesome. They had I just want to make this known. They had like the nose you pick in Double Dare, because I think it was the 30th anniversary.
It was a Nick. Nick-themed, hashtag the splat, because that's their
that hashtag. I'll get picked up on all the...
Yeah.
And but they had the nose you pick, like from Family Double Dare, and they also had Olmec, or some sort of odd papier-mâché Olmec. But it was really cool, and I thought the event was fun. Overall, successful. Thumbs up. Two thumbs up from the Flow. What do you want to housekeep?
It was great. We're running out of little time, so I would just say, It was good. thanks to
that's a capital good.
Thanks to Laura Stevenson again for being on the
yeah,
show.
Thank
with
you,
us.
Laura. Good luck tonight.
And thanks to Flo.
Oh, thanks to you, C.
Awesome. We got more stuff going on this weekend. So follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Gmail Twitter. Us, Twitter.
Oh yeah, I changed everything because I want to be uniform. The Stroll Show, BK, on all formats throughout the planet. And we got to ask one more question before we go here tonight, Vinny.
You up, Vinny?
You up, Vinny?